Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good week, good month to you. I'm Bishop Randy Dean here for this episode of Alive to Love. I am unavailable for lesser values than love because I believe anything other than love can devolve into BS, and that's why I'm the No BS Bishop. No BS, no bait and switch, or whatever you want that to be. I refuse to live my life for a lesser value than love. I have learned that when I love, that's what I need for every relationship, every decision, every priority, every promise, every broken promise. I need love. I need love to guide me. I need love to hold me. I need love to solidify my thinking and purify my meditation. So to that end, I'm the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love. All lesser values devolve into BS, and I'm here with something I hope will stay with you. It'll stick to your ribs, like Mama used to say about a nice warm bowl of vegetable soup or chili on a cold day. It'll stick to your ribs. I want it to stick to your heart. I want it to give you a lift for life going forward. Today, in a moment, we're going to talk about the priorities and the promises of love and how those priorities will become the promises fulfilled, and how those promises will help you develop priorities going forward in this world. But before we get to that that meat of today, I'm going to lead you in Love's Creed, something I wrote years ago that keeps me centered, keeps me focused, keeps me on task for what life should be about. And so I'll give it to you in total. Come back and I'll repeat it for you like I would for a bride and groom who come to the wedding altar. I'll repeat a phrase and then you repeat it, and we'll go through it that way in a moment. But first, here's Love's Creed in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. That creed, in and of itself, for me, is the baseline of how to walk through the world of hate, a world of misery, a world of contortions, a world of dysfunctional minds, a world of dysfunctional people, dysfunctional purposes that people get trapped in. Being alive for love manages me through that, and it sets priorities and promises for me that we'll get to. But here is Love's Creed for you to repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy of that, you could email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to send you a copy. That creed, once again, is a baseline. It's a centering point for me. I don't repeat it every day, but I repeat it at least two or three times a week. It has become for me a way of looking at my world, viewing the people I interact with. I don't want anybody listening to me ever think that I only deal with people who are easy to love. Nobody has that life, by the way, but I certainly don't. I have plenty of folks who are a challenge to my love. I have plenty of people in my life who challenge my creed to love. And I'm happy for that. Why? Because it keeps me honest. It keeps me focused. It keeps me coming back to a point of changing my mind, going for love, no matter what the cost. And why do I go for love? Well, I go for love, as I tell you here, I'm on a pilgrimage. This is going to take all my life. This is going to take all of eternity, by the way, to discover love with a capital L. God is love, and love is God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. God and love are synonymous. God doesn't have love. God is love. Everything that comprises the notion of God is love. So when we discover love, when we live by love, when we hold love as our goal, our target, then love is God to us. And that is absolutely healthy, because then God to us is love. When I worship God, I'm worshiping love. When I am adored in love, I'm adored by God. You could just go on and on about this, as I have for the last 3 years here on this broadcast. It's a real privilege for me to keep holding the standard high, the standard of love. I hear some folks of faith all the time talking about, we got to hold our standards high. Well, I agree. But what standard are you living by? I've chosen to live by the standard of love, because love is all-consuming in terms of how I relate to people all around me. It consumes my feelings of judgmentalism. Love consumes it. Love takes it on like a torch. It consumes my mercilessness when I feel like, oh, no mercy for that person. They're such a criminal. Love comes in like a bonfire and burns up my mercilessness, and on and on and on. And this is why I'm so passionate about the subject of love, and why I'm here on this broadcast, week in and week out, challenging you to join me in that passion. To that end, today I want to talk about the priorities and promises of love. There are priorities that you establish that give you the promises, and there are promises that if you'll reach for those promises, they'll just convince you these priorities mean everything. So here are the priorities of love. Priorities of love is, first of all, pay attention. That's right, pay attention. It's like reaching in your wallet and getting out your credit card or your debit card or cash and paying for it. In order to love, you've got to pay attention. That's challenging for all of us. I introduced somebody to another person earlier today, and I could tell by the look in the eye of the person to whom I was introducing a new soul, I could tell they weren't paying attention. Made me want to say, like 5 minutes later, hey, could you tell me what that person's name is that I introduced you to a moment ago? And I had a little conversation in my mind where I could hear them, as I've said before myself, oh, I'm not good at names. I would suggest we're not good at paying attention. Love's priority is paying attention. Paying attention means you gotta look at somebody when they're talking. Pay attention means getting off your phone or off your computer or off your device or ending a conversation that didn't have any value in it to begin with. It was just some kind of gossipy thing, and paying attention to something that's more valuable. The first priority of love is pay attention. Attention is expensive. You're going to have to give a few moments of your life to solidify who you're listening to. On that subject of remembering names, did you know the most magical, beautiful word in the world is each person's name? Yeah, I know. I say later the three most magical words in the world are I love you. But if you add their name to it, that ramps it up times 10,000. So when I say I love you, Ginger, that's my wife, I have added such powerful value to that phrase, to that sentence, because the name of my love, my sweet, my beautiful, my almost 50-year bride of Ginger is on the end of those three words. So when I paid attention to somebody else and I can say to them, I heard what your name was. Your name is John. John, it's great to meet you. And by the way, your name is Nancy. Nancy, it's great to meet you. Paying attention will give you the opportunity to learn somebody's name. And by the way, to love them. Second priority of love is to, it just redefines everything. Learn the value of redefining everything, not some things, everything. Redefine how people are treating you. Redefine how life is treating you. Redefine how you're treating life through the lens, through the filter, through the capacity, through the carrier of love. Redefine everything. And that's what love does and calls us to a priority of redefining everything. When people are angry with you, redefine it with love. When people are short-sighted with you, redefine it somehow by love. Because if nothing else, if I will learn to love someone when they are being short-sighted or mean-spirited or impolite, if nothing else happens, I've carved a larger whole holding place in me for the power of love. No matter what happens to the person who's short-sighted or rude or unkind, doesn't matter what happens to them. It does. If they can receive my love, it matters a lot. But in the moment, it doesn't matter. What matters is I've created a greater holding place inside of me to be a lover. Because the hardest work in all the world is to love another soul, to love another human, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your enemy. That's the hardest work in all the world. And we avoid it at our own expense. The priority of love says, I'm willing to redefine everything. Priority of love, another priority of love is that I'm going to learn how to build happy boundaries. Yeah. You know, the old saying is fences make good neighbors. That's what a boundary is. A boundary isn't just a fence around your property, but a fence can be built emotionally. To know that I have to have boundaries with certain folks. There are just some people that I know their commiseration, their hatred for others, their miseries in life are such that I simply don't invite the question, how are you? That's a good boundary when I'm not asking somebody, how are you? Because I know there are some, not everybody, there are some whose life is so full of pain and misery that, you know, I'm asking a question. I really already know the answer. And if they should have an answer to that question, I would rather it came my way without me having to ask it. Because by asking it, I've opened a gate in my fence. And I'm going to have to pay attention to something I may not want to. So it's okay to build happy boundaries. I love everybody. But there are just some, very few, but there are some I'm going to have to learn to love at a distance. There are some whose dysfunction, whose toxic mentality, whose toxic vocabulary, whose toxic attitude toward the whole world. Not many. Please don't put that on a lot of people because it's not. But there are some in all of our lives who fill that definition. Their toxicity, their poisonous, their hatred, it's really injurious. It's like an emotional virus. And you just have to keep safe distance. You got to practice safe distancing from that soul. And that's what a happy boundary is. I know who those people are in my life. And then some I just discover with time. Yep. Anytime I ask them how they are, it's going to be a diatribe of hatred. It's going to be a diatribe of misery. It's going to be a diatribe of how somebody done somebody wrong song. And I'm just not in the mood for that song. And I have to build a healthy boundary. And what am I protecting? Good question. I'm protecting the treasure chest of love in my life. I'm keeping my boundaries healthy and happy so that I can go on loving. The fourth priority of love is to just learn how to go places where I don't want to go. Some ways and some days I'm tired. I'm tired emotionally. I'm tired in other places. But I'll tell you, sometimes when we're tired, it's this very time when love needs to be the highest priority. It's in your weariness that you can be made strong. It's in your lowness that out of a low can come the high pressure system of strength. When I am weak, then I am strong, is what the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament. And when I am feeling loveless, then it may be the very time for me to reach in there into my emotional junk drawer and say, is there any love in here? I've got to exercise it one more time. That's a priority of love. But what are the promises? Well, the promises are a bigger life. That's what I said earlier. If I will love even the most difficult person around me with healthy boundaries, but if I love, if I choose love, not on this earth for hate, I'm alive for love. If I love my enemy, I've created a bigger holding tank inside of me for love to grow. That's a promise of love. Another promise of love is a better life, not a bitter life. I think it was Robert Schuller who said, you'll become better or bitter, and the choice is yours. The choice is mine. Better or bitter, what do I want to be? Better or bitter? I am on this earth for love. I'm not eating, breathing, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am not here to create more bitterness in me or around me. I'm here to create a better life in me and around me. The promise of love is a bigger life, a better life. And the third promise of love is building monuments, building memories of, man, do you remember when? Do you know that when this word was spoken, you created a spark of fire for life in me? There's so many good memories waiting to be made when we love. When we, at our own expense, we love. When, even when we're weary, we reach down deep and we say, I'm still going to love. I will not let my life be robbed of the treasure, the fair beauty of an ocean of flowers coming my way. When love is my mantra, when love is my meditation. So a bigger life and a better life is built. And then third promise of love is it builds the monuments, the memories, such good things that I can consider and contemplate. But the fourth promise of love, I think, is for me, is the most important, is it builds a momentum in my life. It creates the ability to keep chugging on. When I have decided, according to the Love's Creed, when I decided that I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked in anything and everything that is love, it gives me momentum. I don't know about you, but there I'm at 69. I wake up in the morning and I don't say, oh, thank you, Lord, it's morning. Now, some mornings I wake up and I think, good Lord, it's morning. And what I need is a good shot of love, a shot of self-love, a shot of determination, Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. Come on, Randy, let's wake up, get a cup of coffee. We're alive to love. And it builds momentum. It creates for me the reason why I'm putting one foot in front of another. My job doesn't give me a reason to put one foot in front of another. It never will. Making money won't do that for me. It's not enough to give me lifelong momentum. Just being around to do chores or whatever they may be, that's not enough. The one thing that keeps me putting one foot in front of the other foot, just charging forward, sometimes slow, sometimes fast, what keeps me going is I'm going to love. I'm going to love even if I'm bone tired. I'm going to love when I'm on the mountaintop and I'm feeling great. I'm going to love when I'm not feeling much, not bad, not good, but I'm going to love. I'm going to love when I'm sitting in a traffic jam. I'm going to love when I'm in a long grocery store line. I'm going to love when somebody jumps in line in front of me. I'm going to love. I'm going to love when somebody comes along and has a bad attitude at me. I have no other choice, no other decision in this life but to love. And that very choice, that very mantra, I'm using that word again, a mantra is a meditation. That meditation to love, it builds momentum for me. It says to me, love never fails, Randy, and if you don't want to fail, keep loving. Keep loving no matter who said what and when they said it. I had a thought today, just kind of passed through my mind while I was driving along, and the thought was, the best way to manage people who gossip about you is to go ahead and gossip about yourself. Let me explain that to you. So when I am bad at any given exercise for me, doing an inventory of, I mean, like a numerical inventory and paperwork. I'm bad at it. I readily admit it. So when I'm bad at that kind of thing, if I can't get a spreadsheet to work, I just tell anybody that's related to me that has to work with me on that. I say, you know what? I stink at that. I really stink in inventory. I stink at statistics. I am horrible with a spreadsheet. Bear with me. I'm trying to get better. But in the meantime, I just stink at it. That way, when that person walks out of my presence and they run into somebody else who says, you know, that Randy Dean, he stinks at inventory. He stinks at paperwork. He just can't, you know, he can't count up to 10 without taking his shoes off and counting his toes. Then you can say, if you've heard me talk, you can say, huh, interesting, because Randy just told me that. Randy just told me that about himself. What is that? I'll tell you what that is. Self-love. It's the momentum of seeing to it that I'm not on this earth to combat all the gossip that goes on around me. I'm going to love the gossipers. I'm not on this earth to try to fix anybody that is crossways with me. No, it's not my job. My job is to love them. If I'm on this earth to fix anybody, it's to fix me. I'm going to fix me, and here's how I'm going to fix myself. Here we go. Here's the answer. I'm going to fix me with love. Love is the only power worth giving all your soul and mind and strength to. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And your neighbor as yourself is what the Shema of Israel says. Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You know, so when Jesus came along and he gave that one promise, that one command of love, he really wasn't rewriting anything. He was underscoring what was always true, that love is all we need. Love is what keeps the world going round. Love is the power of choice, and it's the choice of power. It is the power of those who have decided that they're going to live by the promises of love. A bigger life, a better life, a life built with memories and monuments, and a life that has momentum. That's the priorities and the promises of love. Well, every No BS podcast ends with two exercises, and the first one is breathing. Yep, you heard me right. Breathing slows you down, lowers your blood pressure, gives you a chance to take a deep breath, relax. Don't be so uptight about what people did or said or what they're going to say or do. Slow yourself down. Put your feet flat on the floor and recognize that when you breathe well, you're living well. There's one thing you can't live without, and that's breathing. You've got to breathe deep. And in breathing, love life. So on the count of three, I want you to grab the deepest breath you can. I want you to hold it down in the foundations of your lungs, down up against your diaphragm. Hold it there for a few seconds, and then exhale gratitude on the count of three. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it down deep. And exhale. Thank you, God. If you will take 5 minutes every day, set aside noise, turn the radio, TV, computer, phone off, and just close yourself in for 5 minutes and breathe that way, you're going to give your body a little Sabbath, a little rest that it's here. Most of our bodies are screaming for that. Learn to do that out of love for yourself. Second exercise we close with every No BS Bishop is to find somebody somewhere, make it weird. I know it's awkward, but make it your purpose in life to live the promise of love by giving somebody somewhere. If there's nobody with you, find somebody somewhere today and say the three most magical, charmed words in the human language. Say slowly with eye contact, I love you. And when you do that, you have just connected on a level with somebody that they will never forget. Oh, yeah, they may walk away and say, well, gosh, that was weird. Or they may, more than likely, walk away and say, wow, that was powerful. Whatever the case, you've done something for yourself as well. Remember what I said earlier? One of the promises of love is that you're going to build a bigger holding place inside of you for love. And don't we all need a bigger love tank, huh? I know I do. I'm looking for a greater and greater capacity for self-love and especially neighbor love, enemy love, life love, and a lifelong love. If you could see me through the radio or the computer you're listening to me on, I would want you to get eye contact with me. And let me tell you, whoever you are, I love you. All right, well, that's today's episode of the No BS Bishop. I am alive to love, and I'm asking you to join me. Come on, let's go be alive to love. Let's make sure every day of our life is doing something beautiful. Because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. How about let's rise and shine to the beauty of love, and let's let the world see somebody's on this earth alive to love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.